Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Are we ready to crack some nuts over here?
We're always ready to crack some nuts.
You're
doing music
now? I could keep going.
Wow.
Dan, you're not going to join in with me?
I'll do rhythm section.
Oh, okay. This episode is going to be all about the history of the Nutcracker here in Clatsop County.
And which is celebrating, like, what is it, the 10th anniversary?
Right, plus 40. The 50th anniversary of the beloved Nutcracker with Maddox Dance Studio, the Little Ballet Theater, is this December, the first weekend in December. They have two shows on Saturday, one on Sunday. And we have our local Nutcracker historian, Dan Foss.
Hey.
Who's a second-time guest now.
Yes.
It's exciting.
I know. If you get one or two more, you get a t-shirt that we'll talk about.
Someday.
We talk about the t-shirts.
For the Five-Timers Club.
Yep.
Oh. See,
which actually is kind of growing, the number of Five-Timers.
I know.
But we shouldn't dilly-dally.
So we're not going to dilly-dally. You do your history, really, and then we're going
to
get to dance.
So I do have one quick commercial. The Selig Award that the Oregon Film Museum presents to a young filmmaker. It is on Friday, November 14th at the Liberty Theater. Free.
Yep.
Get to watch a couple of short movies and see a young filmmaker. Get a nice little statue, giant paperweight, and a stipend. And please show up and make this person feel good.
And a Q&A, too.
Q&A,
I think that's kind of cool, especially for young filmmakers that want to learn more about the process.
Doors will open at 7. Show starts at 7, and you'll be home by 8.
I love it. Great.
All right. The history highlights. Let's rush through them. But I have a quiz first. What year do you think the New York subway opened on this date tomorrow, October 27th?
The New York subway. Oh, man.
I asked my office and everyone kind of nailed it pretty close. I was way off of my guess.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, underground, I don't know. 1920.
You
gotta guess?
1890.
See, a number of my staff were like 1890s. It's 1904.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I was thinking like 1920. All right. Let's see. On this date, 1659. So you know the pilgrims, they were all about religious freedom, right?
The Puritans?
Yeah. 1659 on this date, October 27th, William Robinson and Marmaduke Stevenson, I like that name, two Quakers who came from England in 1656 to escape religious persecution, are executed in the Massachusetts Bay Colony for their religious beliefs. The two had violated a law passed by the Massachusetts General Court the year before, banning Quakers from the colony under penalty of death.
Wow.
There's some religious freedom for you.
They're like, really?
This suddenly became a theme somehow. 1838, the Missouri governor, Lilburn Boggs, issues the extermination order.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, it's not going to be about bugs. We wish it was about bugs. 1838, the extermination order in Missouri, which orders all Mormons to leave the state or be exterminated.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yep.
Indeed.
Go West.
Yeah. Come on, Missouri. Show me more than that. This is almost going to be my history highlight of the day, but you know, I don't like doing birthdays that somebody was born and their life had such an impact. But 1858, Theodore Roosevelt is born.
Oh, yeah. Every once in a while.
You know I love Teddy Roosevelt.
Of course.
So if there hadn't been something better, I would have gone with that one. 1919, the Axeman of New Orleans claims his last victim. That's all I had, so I had to do a deeper dive. I'm not going to read it on the air because I know you don't like serial killer stuff. But I'd never heard of the Axeman of New Orleans. Between 6 and 19 victims.
Between 6 and 19?
Yeah, they're not quite sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And usually it wasn't even his axe. It was your axe that he used. So there's a lot there.
Things that keep me up at
go,
night.
Go Google it. It's an interesting story.
No, never.
1925, water skis are patented by Fred Waller.
Oh, how fun.
Have you ever water skied?
Never in my life.
Have you boogie boarded?
I have, yes.
Okay, so and I've done that.
I mean, I've been on a boat with a surfboard. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that's called. Yeah.
And have you ever water skied?
Water skis.
No, but my dad had a boat and I was used to the driver. So I was not enthusiastic about doing that.
Now, did he water ski?
Yeah, with the classic old two sticks and everything else out there. And he had a kneeboard one time too.
See, the kneeboard thing, the boogie board, I get that. And being hauled behind in a tire tube, I get that. But two sticks that you're standing on.
Oh, it'd be so hard.
Yeah, I don't get that. 1938. I was almost going to make this a history of light till I studied the wording on it. 1938, DuPont announces its new synthetic polyamide fiber will be called nylon.
Oh, that's helpful.
But it's just when they named it.
Oh, okay.
Which is why I backed off of that one.
So it existed. Okay.
Yeah, they had already invented it.
Okay.
So, but our history highlight of the day, and I came prepared to defend this.
Ooh, I love that.
1873, Joseph Glidden applies for a patent on his barbed wire design.
Okay.
Barbed wire.
And the glide.
Had a huge impact.
Yeah.
So his was, the barbed wire already existed.
Sure.
But he perfected it by making it two-stranded, and it proved to be well-suited to mass production techniques. And by 1880, so just 7 years later, more than 80 million pounds of inexpensive Glidden-style barbed wire was sold, making it the most popular wire in the nation. Prairie and Plains farmers quickly discovered that Glidden's wire was the cheapest, strongest, and most durable way to fence their property.
Yeah.
As one fan wrote, it takes no room, exhausts no soil, shades no vegetation, is proof against high winds, makes no snowdrifts, and is both durable and cheap.
Yeah.
So all that Wild West cowboys, cattle drives to Wichita and to Dodge City or Abilene, suddenly you got all this fenced in property.
Right. Yeah.
Huge impact on the Midwest and ergo our entire country.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one. Okay.
So,
yeah.
Sorry, Teddy Roosevelt.
You got it.
You got beat by barbed wire.
And is that company still in existence?
Ooh, good question.
It sounds, there is a Glidden. Is it a company that does exist?
I don't know.
I mean, that would be a long time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bet it might be.
Yeah.
Maybe people still have barbed wire.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and often they do other things. Well,
there's actually a barbed wire museum, but I've never been to it.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah,
or
no,
not.
No.
Very interesting. Okay.
All right.
Let's talk about something interesting.
There's no good transition from
barbed
wire. There could have been from Teddy Roosevelt because he kind of looks like a nutcracker.
Oh, there we go.
He would make a good nutcracker.
Well, my grandparents grew up in Wichita, so here's the transition.
There we go.
I'm not sure if that helps. But
and that's Dan Foss, if you actually live under a rock and don't recognize his voice.
So I have to ask, did we discuss Wichita last time you were here?
What was that?
Did we discuss Wichita last time you were here?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because I went to school there, and I worked at Old Cowtown Museum in Wichita.
No way.
There's always a strange connection.
Yeah.
That just gives me goosebumps, because I love history.
Yes. Long lost cousins.
There we go.
Wow, that's cool.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
All right, but I stand by Teddy Roosevelt could pass
for
a nutcracker.
Oh, yes.
You two don't
never
agree
thought
with
that. Of
that.
I don't know.
The big bushy mustache.
Yeah, sure. Like you can make a nutcracker.
And those
out
caricatures of his teeth.
Teeth.
That's
already.
True. Yeah.
he didn't need to be a nutcracker. He could just do it with his own teeth. Chomp, 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 chomp. Okay.
Okay. You digress.
Right. I digress.
Yes.
So 50 years of the nutcracker. And let me ask this. I don't want, I'm fearful to even ask this because I don't want to pop the balloon because 50 years is amazing. Do you think they ever performed it before the Maddox Dance Studio?
Yeah. Oh.
Could it be even older?
Oh. That's a good question.
Could the school have put on a production in 1910
or something?
For sure.
This is 50 years with Jeannie Peterson.
Yeah.
And it's really a testament to her love and dedication for this piece of masterpiece, really. Because, yes, you are correct. I mean, the Nutcracker has been around for centuries.
But I would love if it was like the 100th anniversary of it being performed here.
But this is 50 years with one person.
Yes.
She has had multiple studios and multiple locations, including even her backyard at one point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, one person.
50 years.
50 years. And she is still teaching. She teaches my 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. But she also teaches the 16-year-olds and 17-year-olds and 18-year-olds.
And there's adult classes, too. So
yeah, that's true.
And you're
and I are going to learn.
And you're
stuff.
So darn young, you've only participated in the last 5 of these then?
Well, thank you very much.
You're not from all the way back 50 years ago, of course.
No, my first one was 03.
Okay.
So it's been a good run. I stepped away for 7 years, but I wanted to come back to give back to this coming anniversary year. So I came back last year to get my feet back into the mix, so to speak. And Yeah, this is great. Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yes, yeah. We're so glad you're here.
So before we hit into the history of it, are there any special plans for this year besides just putting a big old 50 next to everything?
That's a good question. Jeannie's always emphasized that it's a traditional nutcracker. And she's, you know, has her vision that she likes to, you know, have presented. But for her, I once asked her, is there going to be anything new, anything novel? She goes, nope. That was it. And it's just the tradition. It's the, you know, I suppose it's the discipline of the dance itself. I think it's very honorable. So I think that's...
Yeah.
But there's other things that we're doing outside of the actual onstage stuff to, you know, help with the promotions.
Like this. So tell us a little bit about the history. Where are we starting?
Wow. Well, you know, for Jeannie, she started dance. She grew up in Yoncalla down in by Roseburg, but she was dancing, you know, when she was 4. But she first started teaching here in Astoria when she was 13 years old. It's pretty amazing. So, you know, the first Nutcracker was, you know, back in 74, but she's been doing recitals for the last 75 years. So it's pretty amazing. But she has this, you know, drive and, you know, passion and, you know, the vision to do all these incredible events. So, you know, it's just one of those things that we're just fortunate to be a part of it. She's the same age as my dad, and I just really admire her. She's like the, excuse my, ever-ready bunny. She just keeps going and going,
she's
amazing. But, you know, for us, you know, she's the founder, the artistic director out there at Maddox Dance Studio. And so it's something that she's had in the back of her, you know, drive. And she wanted to create a school where kids can learn the, you know, the ballet and the discipline. But she's also does the Nutcracker as a way of a fundraiser for her 501c3, which allows her to allows kids to apply for scholarships to attend prestigious schools around the nation. So it's just amazing.
And it also, I mean, it funds the company as well. There is a ballet company within Maddox Dance Studio, and you have to be invited to join the company, and then you have to maintain, there's a whole rule book of things that you have to maintain to stay in the company and or progress within the company.
She's always put an emphasis on education, and there's grants available as well. So she's all about the kids, and she wants to see them be better people, you know, disciplined and have the drive and the motivation to pay attention to detail. She is just amazing. It's just been great. So
is there any estimate that she's ever made or anybody else in 50 years, how many people, different people have actually been in the Nutcracker here?
Oh, that's
because it's
got to
be
a
huge number. It's got to be crazy.
That's
big.
A really good question.
Or how many generations at this point, like, even in this Nutcracker, how, you know, what generation of person? Because we can obviously over 50 years, you can have, and we can guess. But
my first sentence that we've created a document on the history of Nutcracker. This is what it says: 50 years, 3 generations, hundreds of dancers, probably thousands of dancers, multiple venues, choreographers, volunteers, stage crews, one woman's vision.
I love that.
So it's kind of gives you a synopsis of what's going to come in terms of this Word document. They read through this, but this will be in the program for coming year. You know, people will be able to read the history of it, but it's pretty cool that, you know, the Jeannie's always emphasized that this is a community event. You know, everybody in the community will benefit at some point with whether it's hotels, motels, dining, just the exposure to high level art. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a treasure.
And it is open to anybody to audition and participate in the Nutcracker, which I also love. So this is a production of the Little Ballet Theater, which is separate from Maddox Dance Studio. So, and this year I know of at least a dozen young girls, young women who are not members of Maddox Dance Studio, but are in the production. Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. If you certain roles like Clara and some of the other really solos are reserved for members of the company to audition for. So there's a benefit of joining that or being invited to join that company. But it is a community event. And then the prices are still very reasonable to attend the production as well.
Absolutely. $25 is the low end, and there's it goes up to $55. You know, where's that? And, you know, right? in other artistic opportunities.
And it's Astoria High School, where really your low-end seats are still amazing good. View of the show.
And they renovated recently, and they put in really nice, comfortable purple seats.
Oh, nice. I love that.
But it used to be laminated veneer maple chipping plywood that's from 1957.
So we're not going to go back in history for that.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I have not seen it in the renovated theater yet. But I will say, even though it's in a high school theater, which is a pretty nice theater for a high school,
it is.
It feels like a professional performance.
Yep.
I mean, it is a professional performance, but it's with kids and students, and you really don't notice that. I mean, you sit there and you're just taken to another place. I mean, you could be in a giant theater somewhere. You could be in Radio City Music Hall. I mean, it just has the quality of professionalism and quality.
Well, and I think one of those huge assets, which I love the most, is that live orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. I mean, it makes such a difference.
I think we're one of three in the state of Oregon, which is really good. You know, sometimes it was pre-recorded. They actually do that with OBT and the Seattle shows. They actually put a little asterisk in the when you buy the tickets. It's recorded music. So we're really privileged to have orchestra. We've had three different conductors over the years. John Ogren, Lee Stromquist, and the current one.
new guy.
We'll find the name.
He's the superintendent out at Jewel.
Oh, okay.
So, I apologize, but I'll get back to you.
That's extraordinary. In 50 years, only three.
I just came. Corey Peterson.
Oh, that's
Corey,
great.
You're the best.
No, he's amazing. So there's only been three. I think there's one was here for 1 year and moved on, but three over 50 years is pretty amazing.
So, wow.
Well, we have to take a step back, though.
Yes.
Not all of them were done with an orchestra early on. Early on, there was a classic plug-in single box LP player.
I love that.
And they would play him at the old Riviera Theater, now the Columbia.
Okay.
And they would do it right there at the front of the seats by the apron of the stage. And it was about 20 minutes long. Okay. And it was just excerpts. And it was like part of the Saturday morning kids programming.
Oh, I love that.
So it was a nice way to showcase that to the younger crowd. And the parents, I'm sure, were there. And the moms were going, wow, this is good. And the kids were going, I want to do that. I'm just speculating. But I'm sure that was very helpful for getting the interest going.
But were they selling beer in the balcony?
In the balcony? Yeah, 21 and over.
I cannot picture it in the Columbian.
No.
That's amazing.
But the theater, I mean, the stage is nice in the Columbian. Yeah.
I had a chance to, the manager let me in, and I did some photos and went down there and took some photos from nobody in there. But the back is really cool. I mean, you know, behind the curtains, it's got some, classic, proscenium opening things, and there's some props and some other things back there. It was just fun to, see way back in 74 what they might have encountered. So,
yeah.
Wow. But it's been fun. And, for us, Dean has always emphasized the family part of it. You know, it's like, all right, here we go. And the family's coming back together. And usually, as soon as school starts, everybody just really gets dialed in for Nutcracker. The auditions were like in the third week of
September.
And then the first practices, like end of September, early October. It's like about 9 weeks of preparation. And it's like downhill with the wind if you ever played golf, So it's moving. Here we go.
It is. And they again, since this is outside of Maddox Dance Studio, they rehearse on Saturdays, so outside of the regular dance window. And this year, because there are so many young students who are participating, they also added Friday rehearsals, which sort of like screwed up all of our schedules, right? Yeah, for the 50th, they had to add one more day.
And then we also have to yield to the high school drama department because they're still doing their fall production. But we do a Sunday practices too. There's a couple in November.
Yes. So
we're just getting it fine-tuned, getting it ready for December 7th. And when... I don't know. I'm sure you guys all have your calendars packed, and I have one on my wall that I've hand created. It's got the last 4 months. Everything's penciled in, but it's it's busy. It's going to be amazing. Looking forward to it. But yeah, you know, like I said, you know, Jeannie's emphasis on the family is just really important. And we even talk about that in some of our promotions. You know, the family is coming back together, and it is fun. We have a good time. But let's see here. If I get all my details. Oh, this is really good. You guys would appreciate this. NBC Today Show actually came out in 1986 and did a story about Little Ballet Theater and the Nutcracker as it relates to small town grassroots efforts to, you know, for the interest in the Nutcracker. And they also had the video is kind of interesting because it shows Mikhail Baryshnikov in New York dancing and jumping out of the gym, and then the small town Astoria, and we have pictures of that. We're going to show during the weekend. We'll have a slide presentation going on, but it's been really amazing to see, you know, that interest that early in 86. So that's like 12 years after it started.
And wow.
And then to have them come out, and it's just wonderful to, you know,
the Today Show. I haven't seen that. Yeah,
do you have footage? Are you going to have footage?
I do have a video. Jeannie gave me the VCR tape.
And right, I had the VHS.
The VHS, right. VHS tape. And I went down to Radio Horizons and had them create a couple DVDs.
Okay. So I was going to say, and then did you rent a VCR? What did you do? Okay, they made DVDs. That's awesome.
I might have one in my closet. Oh, it's like, there you go. Like old school stuff. But yeah, that was a nice step of for Jeannie to get recognized early.
Yeah, and where was that? If you've watched that, where was that produced? Where were they doing it? Not at the high school yet.
Yeah, it was in high school.
Okay.
The first full blown Nutcracker was in 82 in the high school. Full blown one was in 82. So they've done shows at the high school. They've done them at the Seaside Convention Center, Cannon Beach Coaster Theater, and even way over in Pendleton for the at the Vert Theater, if I recall that. But one thing about the trip to Pendleton, Jeannie always brings it up. If you remember that scene at the end of White Christmas where they open up the barn doors and it's snowing, and that's what happened there. It was like they walk out and it was snowing, and the kids didn't have, you know, winter clothes, but they wanted to go out and make snow angels.
Of course.
And I had to get clarification with this from Jeannie. And they went out. They decided, we're going to go change. They came back out, and they're all wearing their swimsuits. And I go, Jeannie, is that right? She goes, yep, swimsuits. And they, you know, they were making snow angels. I went, oh, my goodness, that's a memory.
Yeah.
So to drive all the way over there, and the snow was just, you know, coming down, and the treacherous coming back, it was amazing. So memories.
Yeah.
Memories. And then were you guys, obviously you were here for the 07 hurricane.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That was, I remember, because I was, you know, in that performance there, and we came in. I usually come in early. It's just my comfort zone. But on that Sunday, and there was water just flat out dripping, flowing from above the stage from the high school roof. And there's just absolutely no way. And if you remember also that there's so many trees crossing the roads because they all were blown down. So just getting people here, we had to say no.
Yeah.
But it was performed later in January, you know, down at Seaside, which was very, you know, honorable to honor the tickets.
Oh, sure.
That and just all the kids' work.
Yeah. And tell us about the pandemic, the year of that. How was it celebrated that year?
Well,
I think we had it, right?
It was, no, 2020 was not.
Okay.
2021 was with full masks. Everybody had full masks. And I have quite a few photos of that. I wasn't in that one, but it, you know, I think we're all sympathetic to that. I'm a retired industrial arts woodshop guy. And I just stayed away because it was just safety reasons.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, they all had their color-coded masks on depending on what to outfit they had. So it was really cool. But all in all, it was those are some of the challenges along the way. Another one was in 08, Astoria High School's football team made it to the finals, and that was that weekend. And they went down and won the whole thing. So they actually honored that at another Seaside event later in the holiday season. For all the people that, you know, like, last one in Astoria, please turn off the lights. You know? Everybody took off and went to that game. And they went down and won it 19-11.
Oh, my goodness.
A little history there. How do I know that?
Sometimes you just right. Sometimes you just have to pivot, I guess, with those big things in a small town. He's saying you have 3 minutes.
No problem. But is that for the whole thing? Oh, well, sorry.
That's okay.
Let's see here. I didn't know what our timeline was. I'm sorry. But if you guys get a chance to come, we have incredible, beautiful sets. They're just world-class. Ann Murray, who was a set designer at Eugene, painted those. They're pretty amazing. Our costumes, unbelievable. That we have such a treasure trove of those in storage, and we're looking forward to bringing those out. We have our professional guests, and right this year, over the last few years, it's been Sarah Costumer Downer and Reed Souther from Eugene Ballet, and they're really excited to come back because it's the 50th, so really excited about that. And we also have a lot of the alumni coming back, which is great. Elizabeth Miner, Joel Hathaway, Lisa Sundstrom, who's local, you guys all know her, Tess Run, Liza Barbic, and Anthony Castura, who was once once Fritz and the Prince, who is now on Coin TV as an anchor, is coming back.
That's awesome.
And it's going to be good. But yeah, it's been great. I appreciate you allowing me to come.
So how do people buy tickets? Because this year is pretty cool.
It's going to sell out really fast.
It is, but it hasn't sold out yet. But you also get to reserve your seat. Mm-hmm. So that means no lining up early. No stress the day of the performance. So easy peasy, get your tickets ahead of time so you know where you're sitting. And they go online. Where do they go?
Ticketleap.com. Ticketleap, LEAP.com. And or you can go to Little Ballet Theater, spelled RE.com. And they have a QR code on there.
And social media, Little Ballet Theater, also Maddox Dance Studio, has links that you can go. But again, there's a different price range, and you get to pick exactly where you sit.
Yeah, reserve seating for the first time.
First time.
Oh, wow.
In 50 years.
So I assume those same avenues, if somebody can't come or it's already sold out, but they still want to support, it's a great organization in 50 years. You know it's not going anywhere. So we're going to keep doing this. Is there a way to donate? $50 maybe.
Sure.
How would they do that? Same sources?
I would go directly to the Maddox Dance Studio and talk to Jeannie or our office
and there is
manager.
It is in the link, too, because I noticed at least when I bought my ticket, it asked if I wanted to make an additional donation to the Little Ballet Theater, since it is a nonprofit organization. So that's who you're buying your tickets from. And then you can just make that direct cash donation or online. Mac likes to mail his check.
Yes, of course.
And that goes to Little Ballet Theater or Maddox Dance Studio. And you put attention, LBT, so it goes to that nonprofit, and they will send you that tax letter.
And will either of you be performing?
We will.
Hey, you're excited. We're supposed to start this Friday.
Yes.
Well, we are starting Friday.
We are starting this weekend. You can see both Dan Foss and myself and my husband on stage, but you're not going to notice us because you're going to notice all of the really, really talented dancers around us who make this show very special. Thank you so much, Dan. You make this special. Thanks for gathering that history for us, and we look forward to learning more at the event.
Thank you for having me.
All right, go make some history. We'll catch you next week, and make sure you go buy a ticket and go see the very special 50th edition of The Nutcracker.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.